Holding there on Mishnah, on Perek Hey, another Perek on Tefillah. This is going to talk about the appropriate way to approach Tefillah. And it says, Ein omdin lispalel, you shouldn't get up to daven, ela matoch kovid rosh, except with kovid rosh, which bepashis is the antonym of kalus rosh. Like kalus rosh means like lightheadedness, but it means, you know what it means, kalus rosh. Frivolity, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're juggling a minute before. It just means your head isn't in the zone. Yeah, you're not in the zone, right? Kalus rosh. You're not there. Your head's everywhere else. You're still thinking about your emails. That's not it. You have to come in with a kovid rosh. Literally means a heavy head, right? It's interesting. I think the Aruch learns it's literal that you actually have to have your head bowed down when you daven. Okay, but the pashas is, and we see from the Mishnah itself as it continues on. The Bash says it means you got to go in serious. You can't just rush in. The halacha, by the way, is you can't rush into davening. The Mishnah Berurah, it's such a de minimis shir, it's sort of embarrassing to say. The halacha is you have to wait the amount of time it takes to walk 8 tefachim, which is like, that much. Now you're like, it's ridiculous. 32 inches, I think, is, yeah? So, before you daven, which is silly, I guess, in a way. But it's not silly, I'll tell you why. It means you can't just walk straight into davening. It means you have to pause. I mean, how long it takes for you to walk 8 tefachim is obviously a de minimis amount of time. But the point is, these people who, walk in and, as they're ushering, as they're washing their hands, and then they just, parade right in and get into, right? Tashem Tzvatitach, whatever it is. So that's, I guess, would be, Melech wouldn't be like that. But, so you... That's no good. That's no go. That's not the halacha. You have to pause a moment. Let's then collect your thoughts. Minimally for a moment. Now, you see, the Hasidim HaRishonim, whoever they were, the early Hasidim, I don't know, historically who that's referring to. However, Hayushom Sha'achas Umispalim, they would wait a whole hour to get in the zone. Right, Ari Kaplan brings this as one of his strong riyas of the widespread use of meditative practices. Like, what are they doing for an hour? Sitting, doing nothing. Many Mefarshim say we're Makai in this, or close to it, in davening and in Shacharis, when you have a long karbonos and psukei dezimra, right, the birchas kriyas shema, it's like a long lead up. Wash your hands and putting on tefillin. There's a whole process getting ready to daven. It's the better part of an hour, so maybe we fill part of that. The Mishnah, the Gemara seems to learn literally, they actually took an hour to get into it. They daven for an hour. Shmoneh Esrei for an hour, if you can imagine. Right? And then, if the Chassidim Rishonim on Shek Nes Gadol, and afterwards be Shmoneh Esrei. Pashas, that's the Pashas, I guess. That it's the earlier, the Zugos time and so on. On Shek Nes Gadol, they would daven for an hour, Shmoneh Esrei. No, sorry. They would prepare for an hour, then they would daven for an hour, and then they would take an hour to come back down from wherever the heck they were up and right. So it was a 3-hour process, three times a day. Because the Gemara asked, that's 9 hours. When do you have time to learn Torah? And answer that, a special zchus. But that's what they were doing. So okay. that's exactly. So that's okay. So. That's what they used to do. The point, of course, is they would do it k'teishi yichavnu es libam lamakom, to direct their heart towards lamakom, to the place. I think pshat here is, again, I didn't see anyone say it, which means either it's not true or just I'm too big an omar to know where to find it. But it says, I think the tamakom is because when you're talking to Hashem, you have to recognize your place compared to him, or his place compared to you, however you want to put it. So you recognize you're talking to this infinite being Hashem. That takes a bit of time to think about. It's not. Let me explain what I mean, because I think it's very important. You're not talking to the air, and you're not saying words out of a sitter. You're talking to Hashem, who is imminently here and transcendently encompassing the whole universe. He's the Makom. You're talking to Him, which takes a bit of time to think about. Right, the mushal I always give, you can think about it till, if you think about it too hard, your head might get into a knot, but it's a mashal. You can't take it excessively seriously, but I think it's a good mashal, because Hashem's called the Makom. We're inside Him, so to speak. If you'd imagine a little boy inside of your head, so he's inside of you, but not literally. So I think that relationship between that little boy in your head to you, is in many ways very closely analogous to your relationship to Hashem. So in this context, I use this in mashal many different ways, but this context I think is very important. If you're the little boy, if you were exactly, or the little boy wants to talk to you, if he wants to talk to you and he's sitting in a chair in a room in his world where you are unseen but of course ever present, like, where should he direct his words? We're in the same predicament. He could, we all agree, he could talk to you and you will hear him. The boy in your mind, you'll hear him talk to you, right? But if he's talking to you, he's not just saying words, that's just saying words in an empty room. He has to be talking to you, which is a tricky thing to think about because he can't see you and he can't find you. Because you think about that for the hour it takes to get into the zone, or at least a few minutes, right? But that's what it means. Yechaven es libam l'makom, I think. They have to direct the heart, say, I'm talking to Hashem who's making my heart beat this second and who's everywhere in my universe is nothing but His will, v'chule, like that mashal. Okay. Now, new point about how far the kavana goes. Afilu melech shol b'shlomo, once you're davening Shmona Esrei and a king asks your welfare, this is a Jewish king who won't chop your head off on the spot, lo yeshivena, you don't answer. Remember we saw before by Kriya Shema that you're mafsik for kavod and yira. Here, of course, there's a mitzvah to be mechabed a melech, but so what? Hashem's kavod comes first. You don't interrupt.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Well, what about that? Is let me. Oh, let me
no. Shot in the mischief. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
The king is a righteous king, but if the king is
if he's going to chop your head off, he's going to chop your head off. Then obviously it's a non-starter once you're talking about, yeah, correct. You don't endanger your life. If you're davening and the car's coming, you get out of the way, right? In fact, Rabbi Milonitz also told a story just the other day that his son was davening from the Amud at the Kosel Katan on the eve of that Intifada, Erev Rosh Hashanah, I remember 2001, I think it was, and the bullets started flying, and he's like exposed, so he didn't know what to do because he was being shlicht, so we're davening, so Rabbi Milonitz told him to move to the side, so he got up and moved in the middle of Shmona Esrei. Well, you're not supposed to stand there in the line of fire, okay? And they continued on, didn't continue on where he left off. Yeah, just kept on going. The halach would be, I guess, as long as the hefsek isn't so long as it takes, say, the whole Shmona Esrei, you pick up where you left off. He couldn't talk. He just had to move his legs to get behind a wall and dab him fast to finish up. Right? And that actually is the next part of the Mishnah here. It says, Afilu nachash karach al akevo, even if there's a snake wrapped around your ankle, lo yafsek, you don't stop. Again, yes, it's not talking about a dangerous snake. And I guess if you don't know, you can assume it's dangerous. So if you see a snake coming at you, I think halacha, my understanding is that rogue snakes in Beit Shemesh, in case this happens to you, are poisonous, apparently. That's what I was advised. So if you see a snake coming, you, like, bullets flying, get out the way. All right? I don't know, what's around your leg? What are you going to do anyway? I don't understand. You know, I think you probably stay still, right? But I think here's the point. Again, I didn't see anyone say this, but I think this is shot. I'm sure this is shot. I just didn't see anyone say it. You might think, how can you have kavana because there's a snake? Forget, people don't like snakes. Forget poison, not poisonous. A snake around your ankle is going to stare your concentration. How's it not, right? I mean, anything touching you, let alone a snake.
It could be a woman in Chaim, right? As well.
But too bad, you can't break off. Maybe you have to go fast. You can't. You can't. Kong Hashem. Right? You can't. So that's that. I think that's that. Even that. And there's lesser things. It's too cold, too hot, someone's bothering you, whatever. You can't stop Shmona Esrei till the end, unless it's a danger to life. Okay, very good. We passed the one parak mark. That's good. So now we're holding a Mishnah base. Now we're talking about, there's a few additions that we say in the Shmona Esrei, which you're familiar with, and this just says where to say them. First of all, Mazkirin Gevuras Geshamim B'tchias Amesim. Here's the word Mazkir again, we had the other day. You mention it. The Gevuras Geshamim, that's what we just started to say since Shmini Atzeres. Mashiv Ruach Merida Geshem. Hashem is the one who has the power to make the rain fall. So that's not a request for rain, it's just speaking out that Hashem makes the rain fall. And to put in Tchias Amesim, Tchias Amesim reference to the second bracha where we mentioned Tchias Amesim a number of times, because the Gemara says, like, making the rain fall and the world rejuvenates and is like Tchias Amesim. It's a miracle on its own right without the rain. That's the first one. Now the second insert is the actual request for rain. V'sholim ha-gishamim b'birchas ha-shanim. You insert the request for rain, the send talu matar, the bracha, send us rain please. That is going to the bracha of birchas ha-shanim, the bracha about the well, the parnasa bracha. right? And the third insert here is v'havdala, where you say a moti Shabbos v'chonen hadas. That's inserted in the bracha of this first opinion is like we do in the middle of chonen hadas, the bracha of the fourth bracha, the first of the middle brachas, chonen hadas. That's where you insert it. The reason why the pashas is because, as the Gemara says, like if you don't have das, how can you make havdala? Havdala necessitates you having intellectual ability to recognize kodesh m'chol, and so on. So that's where it belongs. Rabbi Akiva rejects that. He says it's not really that related. Omer bebracha revias b'fnei atma, say in the fourth bracha by itself. It's not really a havdala and das. Don't kid yourself, says Rabbi Akiva. 2 points. So the first bracha you'd say you'd have essentially you'd have a 20 blessing Shmoneh Esrei, adding an extra to the 19 to say havdala there. Immediately before, after Hakel HaKadosh, fine. And Rabbi Eliezer, a third opinion, where you say Havdalah, he says it Bahoda'ah, you say it in Hoda'ah, which is the Modim Bracha, which is where you have lots of inserts that are timely, like, you know, we say it by like Alanisim and so. So you'd again put it there. Okay? Everyone knows Allah, I'm sure, for all those. Okay, fine. Now, good, Mishnah Gimel.
Just before you yes. go, when you say the Bracha Parei, I've got it written down, 7th of
Mahishna. You know what? I actually have to ask that question. I've been in Chutzar, I've forgotten. It's like the 5th of December there. Is it the 7th of Cheshvan?
It says yeah.
7th of Cheshvan? Here?
It's different in Chutzar.
Yeah, I know, right. Yeah, I forgot. 7th of Cheshvan, which this must be coming up very, very soon, right?
Moshe Shabbos.
Moshe Shabbos.
This is Moshe Shabbos.
Very good. Okay. There you go. Very good. And remember the reason why? There's a Cheshvan, because you wanted to give them time to get home from Lila Rekha. 15 days? 15 days. If you'd be a Lila Regal and you'd be coming to Yerushalayim in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, so we don't want to daven the person to get rained out, so we wait for the time that it takes for him to get from Yerushalayim back home. So 15 days, that's the...
The belief was that as soon as people start saying Talamotar, you get your umbrella out.
Amen.
Because
that's where you put... like that's like Yalav Yavon, so that's where other time-bound thanking Hashem brachas go. So there too. Okay, good. Time for one more, I hope. So, Mishnah Gimel. Okay. It seems that the Shliach Tzibur would get up there, and like, you know, I guess they were a little less formal over there. People had a bit of leeway. I guess they did stuff. They made, let's call it make mistakes, but I guess it's a fine line between an intentional and accidental mistake. No Sidurim, and whatever. People did, the Shliach Tzibur did funny things, potentially. So like, how much is too much? That's, I guess, the question here. So the Mishnah starts out, it says, if the guy who's there, being the Shliach Tzibur, motes the crowd, he throws in there, Al Kan Tzibur Yagir Rachamecha. You know, up to the Kan Tzibur, the nest of the bird, that's a reference, I guess, to the mitzvah of Shluch HaKan. Shluch HaKan, right? Yagir Rachamecha. I said, I guess, but I know it is a reference to that. Yagir Rachamecha, that's how far your mercy goes. And Hashem is so merciful, he even has mercy on the bird's nest, right? I guess the understanding, the implication would be that you have Rachmanis here on the person's meaning to say, you have Rachmanis on the bird, because it doesn't have to see that you take the egg or the chick. If that's his praise of Hashem, we'll see in a second, that's unacceptable. Because the Gemara says, that's not. Don't make light of Hashem. Like, you don't know what's in Hashem's attention. Don't make his actions be, you know, how human beings act. It's gezeirat HaMelech. Hashem knows what he's doing, and you don't start making rules and explanations that aren't. Another explanation is like a strange explanation. The Gemara brings he'll make the Bria jealous. You know, all the other animals will say, "Why doesn't Hashem take us into consideration?" I don't know really what shot in that is, to be honest. But. Okay, Val Tov Yizkor Shemecha, or similarly, he says, again, trying to say something nice about Hashem, you know, Hashem, you should be remembered for the good. Like, you know, you do all the good stuff. The implication is, potentially, that you don't do the bad stuff, which, of course, is untrue. Probably one of Noach Weinberg's most famous story. You didn't hear, I'll tell you now, just in 30 seconds, I'll ruin it, but I'll tell you the story. You know, a guy ends up in a hospital, Rav Noach visits him, and he's not really much of a practicing Jew. So he says to Rav Noach, you know, I'm very mean. Hashem, we're like this, we're close. How come? Because he says, you know, I had a miracle. I was driving my motorcycle and I fell off a cliff and I should have died, but, you know, I fell on a branch, had a miracle saved. So, you know, so Hashem obviously really takes care of me. We're, you know, we're close. So Rav Noach said to him, and who do you think pushed you off the cliff? right? Right, which is that's true also with the bad stuff. We say, you know, we also have to, which we'll see in the ninth parak, bad things happen. We say Baruch Tanemes, Hashem knows what He's doing, right? We have, so you shouldn't just say the good stuff is Hashem, implying the bad stuff not. I think it's a common mistake people have, right? Oh, okay. Or similarly, if he says modem, modem, thank you, twice. Again, the Jews lived amongst the Persians often, and they were floating around. The Persians had a religion called Zoroastrianism, which is, Zoroastrianism, which is, they had like basically a good God and a bad God, a God of light, God of darkness. They're afraid of this. You know, Shtei Rishios, you see it a few times. So maybe you're dealing with both. The Christians took it on, by the way. You have this like independent satanic force, whatever. Okay. All those things, if he does these things, even though he's trying to be good, Mishaskin so, you shut him up. Mishaskin so, you don't let him continue on, you stop him, because that's an unacceptable behavior. Okay, now, however, listening a Teva Vata'a, what if the guy goes up and he makes a mistake? So, now, like I told you, he's mumbling and hemming and hawing, can't remember. Remember a few days I couldn't remember the second bracha of Kriya Shema? It happens sometimes. So then you don't wait. Yavar Acher Tachtav. Just get someone else there, because it's not proper covered to the tzibur and to the bracha and to Hashem to have this whole delay. And the guy you bring in is his, you know, pinch hitter, his replacement, so alternate, lo yehei sorban ba'osa shah. That guy shouldn't be a sorban. The sarev means to like kind of drag your feet. The halach is brought down, you know, ask you to daven for an amud, you say, ah, oh, no, no. And then the second time they ask you, you start like getting your kodam, you say, no, you sure? Then the third time you go do it. So don't do that here. Just run and do it, because it's not right that the tefillah should be interrupted. And where does this new pinch hitter, you know, the replacement guy, where does he start? Metchilas habracha shetaba, from the beginning of that bracha in the middle where the mistake happened. So you pick up where the guy left off, just starting from the beginning of that one bracha. Okay, you don't see this stuff anymore because of we live in the age of Siddur. All right, very good.